Welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. This is a special COVID check-in episode where we talk about what it's like to send our kids back to school with the Delta variant raging. We have an amazing interview with Dr. Mona of Peds Doc Talk, and we close with our BFPs. Let's get to it. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. Shauna, hello.
Hi.
It's been a little while since we've done a coronavirus special.
Uh-huh.
It's, I think, been since the year anniversary of lockdown, something like March or early April, I think. We put out some bonus episodes with listener stories and our check-ins.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, now it's August 25th, 2021, and we're coming at our listeners in real time. This is going to come out as soon as I can edit it, maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day. But it's unusual we come to you in real time, but we do it during the COVID episodes so we can sort of keep you up to date on what's going on with us in our lives. And Shauna, I thought it was high time that we checked in and talked a little bit about how COVID is affecting our lives. What's new with you guys?
Well, let's see. I think we haven't done a check-in on COVID stuff in a while because the pandemic kind of felt like it was getting better, mm-hmm. right? The beginning of the summer was supposed to be our hot vax summer. We were vaccinated and cases were going down, definitely here in Los Angeles, and to the point where Steve and I had a date night, you know, mm-hmm. out at a restaurant without masks, and it was feeling really great. And then, of course, as we all know, things changed when the Delta variant became prominent mm-hmm. and started ripping through the city. And so things are definitely a little bit different now.
Yes.
The biggest thing going on in our life is school starting with the girls. It's like in June, I was feeling amazing about Elle starting kindergarten in August and Cece starting preschool in September. And there were going to be protocols for COVID, and I knew that, and cases were low, and I was like, okay, perfect. I signed Elle up for a karate class at my gym and an art class, and we were just doing all of this stuff. And now we are being way more cautious. Elle did start kindergarten, and I talk about that in episode 167, but I want to reference it now because it really is a different experience sending your kid to school during a pandemic, right? Mm-hmm. They have all these protocols in place. I have to fill out a health screening for her every morning. Everyone wears masks all the time, except when they're eating. Parents are not allowed on campus. I haven't seen her classroom. I haven't met her teacher in person. So it's all very weird and distant and strange. And she's getting weekly COVID tests in class. We get her results every week. So every week it's like, when is she going to get her result? Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. And so we're just kind of on pins and needles with all of that every day. The other day she came home from school. She's like, oh, Dustin was gone today. And we're like, huh? Mm. Suddenly it has so much meaning, right? Yeah. It's like, why? What happened? Why? Where was Dustin? Oh, he has the virus. It's like, what? And you have to like decide whether or not a five-year-old is a reliable narrator, right? Like, right. Does she really know what's going on uh-huh. with Dustin? How does she know this? And so you're just like, oh my God, what's going on? And trying to figure out the protocols. What happens if someone in her class does have COVID? What are we going to do? And we haven't heard word about anyone in her class that has COVID, which is good. But I will say today she woke up with a sore throat. She came in my room at 5:45 a.m. and was like, Mama, I have something to tell you. My throat hurts. I'm like, oh, my goodness.
Oh, no.
But otherwise, she's totally fine, right? Like, she's mm-hmm. got great energy. She seems totally normal. But in this landscape, I can't send her to school. Like, normally, I would just be like, oh, you have a little sore throat.
Yeah.
It's probably a cold. You know, parents do that all the time. But this health check-in I have to do, one of the questions is, do they have a sore throat? And I have to be like, yes. So she's home today and
wow.
experiencing Zoom kindergarten for the first time. And it's a thing.
So is it her exact same class, like they have it on Zoom, or is it something different?
It's her exact same class. Her teacher is a rock star. She manages Zoom for kids who are doing online learning, and she manages her classroom for the kids who are in person. So some of her the kids come every day. They opted out of in person.
Mm-hmm.
So when a kid is out, like Elle, either just because they have a little cold or they're quarantined or whatever, they can like Zoom in with their class. So I got to see her class in action. That was like the one good thing. I'm like, it's been such a mystery.
That's actually fun.
Yeah, it was fun. And her teacher seems awesome and does really great, like interacting with the Zoomers and the kids in class and stuff. But it's just a whole nother level of stress and concern doing this in this environment, for sure.
Now, do you have to go get her tested then because she has the sore throat?
No one from the school has mandated that, but we're doing it anyway because why not? You know, might as well find out. So we're doing that today at 3:30. And I will say, like, because of the Delta variant, we weren't sure if we were even going to send her to kindergarten in person anyway. Like the week before school started, it was back and forth every day. Me and Steve were like, should we send her in person? Should we have her do online learning? We didn't know. And finally, I was like, I think it'll be okay. Her school does a lot of really good protocols. And I think it'll be okay. And so we went for it.
And I think I sent you some articles that were like, on a population level, kids don't get it that bad. And we never kept our kids home because flu existed and kids need school and yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm. Those are all the things that were going into it. Mm-hmm. Cece, on the other hand, is a different situation. Her preschool is set to start in September. And me and Steve have been going back and forth on that, too. Preschoolers are a little bit different, right? Like, her school has great protocols, but it's not as strict. Like, they don't do testing every week. She's 2.5, and a bunch of the other kids are, too. It's a class of 20 kids and parent volunteers. Like, how good is she going to be about keeping her mask on and the other kids? And we finally came to the decision that we are going to delay her starting preschool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I emailed the school and asked if we could do that and just keep paying so we could keep our spot. Oh, I really want to be part of the community and stuff. And I've been like attending the orientation meeting online and getting to know people, but I just don't want her to start quite yet. I want to see how it goes in preschool first. So we're going to pay and we're going to keep her home.
That's fun.
So yeah, that's great.
Nothing like paying for childcare that you're not using.
yeah, exactly. So yeah, that's where we are with that. Just kind of hunkering down again, not really going out as much, definitely wearing masks everywhere and trying to stay safe.
Yeah, it just feels like Groundhog Day in a way. But like, you know that scene in Groundhog Day where, or like that series of scenes where he's deciding to like kill himself every time? You know, like the really dark portion of Groundhog Day. It's like it's the same day, but darker.
Yeah. It's harder to have felt the sense of freedom and like lightening and not lightning, like lightning and thunder, but lightening of the burden and feeling good about, you know, going out more and then locking it down again and being like, no, no, it feels harder this time around. But otherwise, we are all good. Our spirits are up. We're doing fine. And I think we should move on to you. I want to hear your check-in because I know you have a bit of a more dramatic check-in than I do. So what is going on with you guys in your world?
Oh, yeah. So our world. So in episode 167, which Shauna referenced about Elle going to kindergarten for the first time, I also talked about Augie going to his first week of preschool. That episode, we already recorded it, but because of the way we delay our episodes, it's going to come out in a couple weeks. So I'm going to try not to rehash too much there. But he went to his first week of preschool. It was 2 days a week. And, you know, I also had some reservations about COVID, but it was just like we talked about, you know, generally it is more mild in kids. And I knew that we never kept kids home because of flu. I mean, obviously, if they had the flu, but like the existence of the flu or the existence of RSV didn't like keep us from sending our 3-year-olds to preschool, right? 2.5-year-olds. So I had all those justifications and, you know, they wore masks, the teachers and the students inside, not outside, because right now the CDC guidelines say if you're outside, you don't need masks, which I'm like, let's revise those maybe if you're in close contact with kids. But the teachers are vaxxed. They didn't tell me that specifically, but it's become clear and you'll find out why, which is he went to 2 whole days of preschool, Tuesday and Thursday. And then that Friday night, his tummy started feeling upset. Like, he said he started feeling like a little sick and he had a little like diarrhea. And then the next morning, he said he felt a little bit sick to his stomach, and then he started getting a fever.
Oh, no.
And we had gotten a message through Brightwheel, which is like the app that our school uses, saying like, there is a sniffle going around the class, and please keep your kids home at any sign of illness. And they had been really, really strict about this. Like, they weren't letting any kids in. With a fever, any type of illness. But, you know, it's only as good as compliance, you know, parents being honest about it, first of all, which I think they probably were. But also, we all know you're contagious with an illness usually before you start showing symptoms. So once the sniffles start going around, it's kind of like, well, it's out there, right? But we had gotten this message that was like, the sniffles are going around. So we were like, oh, okay, well, this is probably those sniffles that are going around. And Saturday, I kind of waffled about whether I should get him tested because we had been warned about these sniffles. And I was a little worried about like how I would test him because I had never gotten a COVID test for him before. I don't know. Have you done a COVID test for Cece?
No.
Yeah. So it used to be you could get like cheek swabs, I think. But nowadays I can't find anything that's not like a nose swab. And I can't get this kid to like blow his nose, let alone come at him with like a Q-tip.
Yeah.
But I decided to try anyway. So like I got some of those Binax Now at home rapid tests from Walgreens. I went through the Walgreens drive-thru and got some. And they're like $25 for two, which is a great resource to have. Mm-hmm. The problem is when I tried to give it to him, he lost his shit. And, you know, you have to be careful with them because the swab has to be sterile. Like you can't contaminate it or it's not valid and all this stuff. And they give you two swabs. They don't give you any spare swabs.
Oh, geez.
There's two tests in the pack and you get two swabs, right?
Yeah.
First swab was grabbed and thrown to the floor.
Like, oh, geez.
I had him in his high chair and was trying to do it, and I couldn't do it. I managed to use the second swab to get some kind of a sample from his nose, but like, did I get the full 15 seconds in each nostril? I did not. Like, I tried, but he was losing his mind, thrashing against me and crying.
That's a long time for each nostril for a little kid.
It is a long time.
Wow.
So I still was able to complete the test, and it said it was negative, right, on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But something in my gut told me, like, not to trust that. I knew that the sample was questionable. And also, I knew that those at-home rapid tests were really good at confirming positives, but they also had a lot of false negatives.
Oh, okay.
So after talking to some friends and asking advice about, like, should I test? Or am I just being paranoid? I ended up booking him for a PCR test at the new pediatric urgent care that just opened in Pasadena for that Sunday. Mm-hmm.
Is he still showing symptoms at this point, or how is he feeling?
So, yeah, here's the thing. Saturday, he felt a little warm and he started having a runny nose. And I gave him some ibuprofen and his fever came down instantly. The other thing is, like, he will not let me take a good temperature. Like, we have one of those forehead guns, but I swear it's like if you point at one spot, it says it's 97. If you point at another spot, it says 99. Like, there's no good way to get a good reading on those, for at least the one I have. So I was trying to do under the arm, and I don't know if it's just because he's ticklish or what. He would not let me do it. So I could tell he was warm. I don't know how high of a fever he had, but it always responded to Tylenol or ibuprofen. So that night, in the middle of the night, he woke up at like 4 a.m. wanting water. And when I went in, he also felt warm. I gave him some more ibuprofen. But that was kind of the extent of it. The next day, he didn't have a fever. Like on Sunday, he didn't have a fever. He was super energetic the whole time. Just a little bit of a runny nose. So I was like, this is a mild cold. It was so mild that Corey told me he was going to bet me his entire Bitcoin wallet, which, by the way, is not that much, but like it's a little more. At some point, we both like bought a tiny, tiny bit of cryptocurrency, like as a project, and his is done a little better than mine. So like he was betting me more money than what I had, right? But I didn't take him up on it because I was like, no way, this can't be COVID, right?
So Corey thought it was COVID, or Corey thought it was a cold?
Oh, Corey thought it was a cold. Corey thought I was being overly cautious getting the test, and like he was willing to put money on the line that it was not COVID.
Okay.
So I felt kind of silly taking him into this urgent care and having him checked out by the doctor, which it was nice because she looked in his ears and his like nose and throat to make sure that he didn't have like strep or like ear infection or something. And then they did the COVID test, which was awful, like for him. I mean, it's not actually awful. They don't go all the way up into your brain like they used to. They just get like the front part of your nose. But he's so resistant to everything. He was sobbing and screaming, and I had to hold his arms and legs down. It was awful. So I, of course, felt terrible because I felt like my hypochondria and my over paranoia, like we had to take our whole Sunday afternoon and go to this urgent care and get tested and torture my son for nothing, right?
Yeah.
Especially because by Sunday night, he was almost completely better. Like, barely a runny nose, fully energetic, right? Uh-huh. By the way, still did not nap. No naps, even while being sick. Meanwhile, Sebastian started getting a runny nose Sunday. So, like, he got whatever this cold was too, right? So, it takes like 2 days to get your PCR results back. And I got tested at the same time, mostly just to show Augie that it wasn't going to hurt and it wasn't a big deal. So they told us that you would get an email if your test was negative and you would get a call if your test was positive.
Okay.
Well, on Tuesday, which, by the way, we did not send him to school, obviously, because he was feeling sick.
Mm-hmm.
On Tuesday, we were having dinner, getting ready for the evening, getting ready for the bedtime routine. And I got an email that's like, your test results are negative. And I was like, oh, okay, great. And then I get a call from PM Pediatrics. And I was like,
oh, no.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my gosh.
So I pick up and it's a doctor at the urgent care. And they're like, yep, your son is positive for COVID. And then he gave me the rundown of what kind of symptoms we should be looking out for. And, you know, it's all stuff that you can Google. It's like if his fever gets worse, if it looks like he's lethargic or blue or whatever, you know, like all that stuff. But I was looking at him and he's like playing with his pasta, like completely fine.
Wow.
So Augie got COVID and
oh my gosh.
So did Sebastian, apparently. We asked the doctor, we're like, should we get the baby tested? And he's like, it's safe to say that he has it too. Like, if he's showing symptoms, I don't think you need to subject the baby to a test. Like, you know, it's obvious that he got it too. So yeah, so the kids got COVID, Shauna. The kids got COVID.
From the first 2 days of preschool. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. I cannot even believe that.
Ugh. Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. It's like, of course they did. Like, of course he did. The first, like, and I think it was the first day because it takes like 3 to 5 days for symptoms to show up. So, like,
wow.
He started Friday night. So, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Yeah. Okay. So, I have some questions. Okay. So, at the school, do they eat? Well, obviously, they take their masks off to eat. Mm-hmm. And what about napping? Do they nap in their masks?
They don't nap in their masks. So, like, I mean, like, why even bother? I don't know. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
None of the other kids tested positive.
That was my next question. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe the masks do work. You know, the classes between 2 and 4 and 2 to 4 year olds are not like great at masking. But maybe that's just still enough to keep them safe, you know? Or maybe they just were doing rapid tests and getting negatives, you know, like we got. Because that's the thing. We got a negative test. I could have stopped there. Right.
Right.
But I didn't. And I'm really, really glad I didn't, because we could have inadvertently exposed a bunch of people. We wouldn't have sent him back to school until he was all better. But, you know, we would have been more relaxed about popping out to the store or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, we wouldn't have brought him. But Corey and I decided to, like, really quarantine after that, just in case we were also contagious. You know, instead of me running to the grocery store or something, we got delivery last week.
That's smart. So what was the plan? Did you need to isolate for a certain amount of days or what?
Yeah. So CDC guidelines right now are 10 days from the onset of symptoms, you're allowed to like re-enter society as long as you've been fever free for 24 hours and your symptoms are improving. The school wanted zero symptoms for 24 hours, like zero, no cough, no sniffles, no nothing. Not just symptoms improving, which I totally understand. And actually, it was totally fine, like, well before that. I think within 7 days, you couldn't tell anything had happened. Sebastian, he still has just like a tiny bit of residual phlegminess and cough, but neither of them got anything beyond like 12 to 24 hours of a fever. Low fever, too. Nothing terrible. And a runny nose that turned into like post-nasal drip cough. You know how that is. Like you cough a little.
Yeah.
But, you know, neither of them got very sick, which I am super grateful for.
Yeah, I'm so glad.
I don't know if it's just like luck of the draw or that I'm giving them any protective factor by nursing them. You know, I continue to nurse both of them. And much to Augie's delight, I told him he could have as much boo-boo time as he wanted when he was sick.
Oh, lucky kid.
He milked that. Like, pun fully intended. But like he was like... At some point, he nursed. And then like 10 minutes later, he was like, I want boo-boo time. And I was like, oh, honey, you just had it. And he said, I can have as much as I want. And I was like, you're right. I did say that. Shit.
They really listen and remember when they want to. That's for sure.
Yeah, they hear you. They hear you. They just don't cooperate if they don't want to.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm just really grateful that it was mild for us. And, you know, I'm hoping that there's no long-term weird complications. Like, there's no indication that there should be, but I'm on the lookout for that Miss C, that multi-inflammatory system, whatever, that's related to COVID thing that happens in some kids. It's super, super rare. So I'm not all that worried about it, but I am on that lookout for that in a couple weeks because it can pop up later. Mm-hmm. But in general, we came out pretty unscathed. Corey and I both tested negative. I'm actually going to talk a little bit more about that in our BFPs segment, so I don't want to get too into it because I do want to get to this interview we have coming up.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, he's already back at school. You know, he went yesterday.
And how did the school handle the exposure, the COVID exposure? What did they tell the other kids and families? Did they have to shut down, or how does that work?
You know, I think they actually did a really great job. So I had kept them updated by email at every step. I said, you know, Augie came home and he has a fever. Augie has the sniffles now. Now the baby has the sniffles. And I was just emailing them and I said, you know, I took a rapid test. It was negative, but I'm going to go to get a PCR. And I was continually in contact with them about it. And they were really grateful for that. And then when I got the PCR back and it was positive, we got on the phone and talked about what was going to happen. And they were like, yeah, unfortunately, because we've been open this whole time, like, we're old hat at this. Like, we know exactly what to do in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
So because all the classrooms are like isolated from each other, they don't allow cross mixing of the classrooms. They didn't have to shut the whole school down. All they had to do was keep the kids who had been there with him on Thursday home for 10 days. So,
okay.
And that's not even the whole classroom because some kids are Monday, Wednesday, Friday, right? If you miss the day on Thursday, you could come back because there was no exposure in theory. So they kept those kids home for 10 days, but the teachers could stay because they were vaccinated. Well, they didn't. So it's interesting. When I interviewed for the school, like when we did the tour, I asked if all the teachers were vaccinated. And they were like, well, we're not allowed to say, but we can just tell you that we haven't run into any resistance, if that helps you feel safer. And it was like sort of like a wink, wink, nudge, nudge thing. All right. That's what I took it as. And they said, you know, if you're fully vaccinated, you don't have to stay home unless you have symptoms. And the teachers were there, you know, the whole week. So it's like, oh, okay, that's good. Teachers are vaccinated. Now I know for sure. So, yeah. So the kids who were exposed stayed home. The thing is, I don't really know because they kept it really anonymous. So nobody knows, in theory, nobody knows that it was Augie who was the positive case. Like, they just all they do is they send a message out to the whole school, including the other classroom, saying, OK, in this room, we had one case. Here's the day it started. Here's the day other kids might have been exposed. Here's who needs to stay home, and here's when you can come back if you have no symptoms, etc. So they were really clear about it. But also, I mean, I don't know how they would know that it was Augie because, you know, no parents are staying in the classroom. It's just drop off and leave. And it's not like, I mean, Augie probably will be like, I had COVID and tell all the other kids.
Yeah, he's going to out himself for sure.
Yeah, but like you said about the reliable narrator thing, like I could see a kid coming home being like, Augie said he had COVID. And then the parents being like, I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, especially from a 2.5-year-old.
Yes, exactly.
4-year-old, yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm so glad everyone is recovered and doing better and that you guys had it so mild. That's just great.
Yes, it's a relief. And hopefully it means that at least the kids have a little bit of natural immunity, at least for a couple months. Hopefully it'll bridge them to when we can get freaking vaccines for the kids. Like, cannot wait for that to happen.
I know.
So, yeah. But I'm not sad that he went to school. Like, I'm still happy he went to school. I knew this was a risk of him going to school. And I'm really glad it worked out the way it did. Now that we're through it, it's so easy to look back on hindsight and be like, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't that big of a deal, but it was very anxiety producing, right? Mm-hmm. And it's something to think about, especially if you are in a home with someone who's immunocompromised or you have a very young baby. Like, one reason we hadn't sent Augie to school before this was we wanted to wait till Sebastian was at least 6 months. Because, you know, it's just a lot easier to treat kids who are over 6 months. They can have ibuprofen. You know, you can just do more with them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely something to think about if you are in a different situation, whether you want to have that level of risk. Like you said, you're going to be holding Cece back for a little bit and reassessing. Mm-hmm. I know another friend of mine, because of our story, has decided not to send their daughter to preschool in Portland because they have a, you know, former NICU baby that's still a newborn. So,
oh, yeah,
you know, and I feel kind of bad. I'm like, I don't want to be the person who stops everyone from going to preschool. But, you know, this is reality.
Well, it's good to know the reality, though. And, you know, that did kind of play into our decision, you know, because I did know about this before you told me about it. And it was something we were taking into consideration. And the fact is, it's easy for us to keep her home for a while because Steve and I both work from home. Mm-hmm. We don't need the child care right now. She doesn't need to be in preschool. So it was not a super hard choice. I know a lot of people are in completely different situations. They have to go into work or they need the childcare, and just different things play into different decisions, like your friend and the NICU baby. You know, it's like you weigh your own risks and what you can do.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So,
yeah.
But thankfully, I think we're in the clear, and I'm just happy to report that everything's okay now.
Yay. So glad to hear it. All right. So we finished our check-ins. I think we should move on to our next segment because we have an incredible interview with Dr. Mona, and I really want to get to it.
Me too. Let's do it.
Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know, they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why Storyworth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give Storyworth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to storyworth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted Storyworth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/BFP.
That's storyworth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not one skin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP. Okay, we are back and we have a special interview with Dr. Mona of Peds Doc Talk fame. We are so excited to have her here. We're actually interviewing her for episode 167, but we also wanted to interview her for this very special COVID bonus episode in real time because today is August 25th, 2021. And we want to talk about what's going on right now. And we want to talk about specifically the COVID vaccine in pregnant and lactating individuals. So first of all, I just want to say welcome, Dr. Mona.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to talk about this. It's so important with the times that we're in right now.
Okay, so real quick before we get into the meat of this interview, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Yeah, so I am Dr. Mona Amin. I am a mom of a toddler. I am a general pediatrician, and I started Peds Doc Talk because I just felt like the internet needed education from evidence-based and experience-based information from a pediatrician, and also just how to fuel babies' development and immune health from an early age. I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to overdo and overthink things. So I really wanted to kind of look at that big picture of a baby. How can we foster babies' development, growth, anxiety related to percentiles, and anxiety related to milestones? So I talk a lot about those early years. You know, I know people are always asking about, well, what about the later years? I'm like, those are important, but we really need to go into those early years when the baby's brain is developing. How are we nourishing them both inside and out? Inside being nutrition, outside being the environment we give them, the play we do with them. And so I partnered with Enfamil NeuroPro, who brought us together. I'm so happy for that, to really educate families more so with their platform on how to, you know, make sure that we are fostering their development from a nutrition standpoint and also from a environmental standpoint. So I'm so excited, you know, with COVID looming, parents are always asking me and worried about various things. And it really just comes down to looking at the big picture. And I think we'll get into a lot of that as we discuss things about pregnancy, lactation, and COVID.
Yeah, for sure. I can't wait to jump into this because This is a topic that I feel really passionately about, and I'm just going to say right from the get-go, so like no one's confused about this, I am very interested in encouraging pregnant people and lactating people to get the vaccine when they feel comfortable. And I like that's what I'd really like to get out of this episode, if possible, because I feel like, you know, in the media out there on Facebook, God, Facebook is the worst, right? There's all this us versus them rhetoric. Like, you're either pro-vax or anti-vax, right? There's no in between. But I think especially in the pregnant and breastfeeding groups, it's a lot more nuanced than that. I mean, this is a group who's told you can't eat sushi, and then you're told, oh, but you can get this new vaccine. It's fine. Like, I can understand the hesitation there. I can totally see why a lot of pregnant people are nervous about it. So what I want to ask you is, what can you say as a doctor who knows a lot about this that will help reassure a pregnant person and a lactating person that it's safe to get the vaccine?
I love your approach because I agree. I don't want anyone to ever listen to this and think, oh, yeah, they're just pushing something one way or the other. I am very middle ground, not even just about vaccines, but about how we educate, right? I am pro-science and I understand data. So this educational piece is coming from an understanding of what we know with the data, but also what I'm seeing clinically, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's so important when you get education about vaccines that you're listening to that education from someone who has both of those perspectives, you know, someone who understands clinical medicine and what they're seeing in front of their eyes, and also someone who understands the data. So first of all, I want to say to anyone who's concerned, your concerns are justified. I don't want you to think that people are like, well, you're crazy. What are you talking about? That's not what we ever should be saying. I want you to feel that you are supported and that I want to educate you on how you can navigate this. Whenever you're looking at vaccines or anything that you're doing or putting into your body, let's, you know, even using your fish example, or sushi example, you want to look at benefit and risk of this situation. When this first started out, right, COVID like 18 months ago or almost 18 months ago, you know, we were in quarantine. People weren't really doing much. At that point, there wasn't a vaccine, right? And then the vaccine initially came out. At that point, I was also thinking, okay, let's allow every lactating or pregnant person to decide what they feel because we don't have enough data, right? When there's not enough data to support anything either way, we leave it in the hand of the person to decide benefit and risk. You know, I'm a frontline worker. I, you know, trust science. Like, I want to get the vaccine. But now, 7 months after we've got this vaccine on the market, we have a lot of data to support safety and efficacy in pregnancy as well as in lactating people. So what I mean by that, safety, which is the biggest thing, is that you can get this vaccine knowing that the benefit outweighs any risk. And when you look at benefit and risk, what we're saying is that the benefit and risk of a vaccine outweighs the risk of also getting COVID in the community and getting a complication. And that is what we're seeing right now, unfortunately. I mean, I work in the labor and delivery and newborn nursery floor, seeing the babies, and I have to scrub in gown up for COVID positive rooms. So we are seeing a high amount of COVID positive pregnant people who are delivering babies, and now I'm going to see their babies. Some of them have been COVID positive, some of them are not. And we are seeing complications now in pregnant people. And I'm talking pneumonia, I'm talking intubation, I'm talking death. I mean, this is scary stuff, meaning they're getting COVID and having complications. But the alternative is that we're not seeing any issue with the vaccine in pregnant people. And that doesn't mean that there won't ever be a rare side effect, right? We understand it's like eating a peanut. You could have a peanut and you could have an allergic reaction. We don't know, right? You could develop an allergic reaction to food or to something in your environment at any age. But we know based on the science that the benefit outweighs the risk. And COVID and Delta right now is, lack of a better medical term, out of control. It's a dumpster fire, if you want to use those terms. It's really bad. And I'm in Florida where it's the worst it is. And it is devastating seeing how many people are getting sick. And we have to also remember that a pregnant person's immune system is not as great as a non-pregnant person's immune system, right? Because your body is busy building bones and ligaments, your immune system's not as strong. And you're more likely to get sick compared to if you weren't, right? The same thing goes down to flu. You know, we recommend the flu vaccine in pregnancy because flu has complications in pregnancy. And now we're starting to see those same complications, preterm delivery, you know, issues with the placenta from COVID, not the vaccine, but from actual COVID. So preterm, we're seeing respiratory issues, we're seeing pneumonias, and that is something we don't want to see. I mean, I have OBGYNs on social and my friends screaming from the rooftops, like, please, for the love of God, just get the vaccine, because we are seeing just a high volume of babies get COVID because their mom had COVID or their other caregiver had COVID, and pregnant people in the ICU. And the way to prevent that is vaccination. So look at it as a big picture of, okay, what can I do to reduce my risk? Yes, masking is great, but who are you surrounding yourself with? If they're unvaccinated people, if you're in a community, you're at high risk of getting COVID regardless of masking. You need to add those layers of protection. Layers are social distancing, masking, and vaccination, right? So if you are not able to social distance, masking. But what if it's crowded? What if you're in a place with a lot of unvaxxed people? Then you need to vaccinate yourself. These are layers of protection to help you and help your baby too.
Is there one vaccine that's better to get during pregnancy or breastfeeding?
So right now there is not. I have my personal choices based on risk and benefit that I would go with Pfizer or Moderna. The only reason I'm saying that is the J&J just has a small risk of clotting. And so it's not, you know, it's not like a red flag completely, but since there are two other great vaccines, and if you're pregnant, I would always err just from a clinical standpoint, doing Pfizer or Moderna.
And for our international listeners, we have a lot of listeners in the UK and Australia. Are there mRNA versions? Do you know, like, are there different brands that are the mRNA vaccines for them?
So I can't remember off the top of my head all of them, but I would err on an mRNA vaccine if you have one available to you. But if you don't, and the only option is to do a non-mRNA vaccine that has been approved and that your clinician supports it, right? Then go with their advice. This is obviously just a kind of overall thing, but if your clinician, you know, has a non-mRNA vaccine who they've been giving it to pregnant people and the studies have shown safety and efficacy, I'm perfectly fine with that. It's definitely a conversation to be had with your clinician.
So as our listeners now know, I talked about this in our check-in, Augie, my 2.5-year-old, went to 2 whole days of preschool and came home with COVID. And This was a little over 2 weeks ago. So thankfully, we are now all recovered. Unfortunately, he gave it to his 6-month-old little brother. And the two boys were sick. Thankfully, my husband and I both were fully vaccinated and have been for many months, and we didn't get sick at all. But, you know, the boys actually had pretty mild illness. And I feel like this is weaponized in the us versus them argument a lot, right? Like, oh, with kids, it's just like a mild cold, so you shouldn't have to worry about it. And then the other side shows all the, like, terrible examples of kids who are, you know, the kids who've died and the kids who've had serious complications. So can you talk about, as a clinician, like, how you've seen COVID in your pediatric patients?
So it's matching. Yeah, I think that's so important to look at that, right? Because how you consume and where you consume information can really cause fear. And I don't want us to do fear-driven parenting practices, but I want us to always think about risk reduction, right? So I always talk about living a life with risk reduction in a pandemic. So that doesn't mean you have to wall yourself off in a room, but what can I do for reducing the risk for my family and also, you know, protecting other people in my community, right? And those are things like masking and vaccination for people who are age appropriate to get those things. So clinically, what I'm seeing is across the board, we are seeing a lot of mild illnesses, which what you're saying is the parent was positive, like an unvaccinated parent had COVID. So they tested their child and the child just had a runny nose, no fever. The most common symptoms I'm seeing with Delta are fever and cough. So any fever and a cough, even if we don't think it's Delta because you haven't been in contact with anyone, I would get tested because you never know and you just want to be completely safe. And then we also do see some kids hospitalized. Now, the hospitalization rate is still relatively low compared to how many kids are getting COVID. About 120,000 kids got COVID last week. About 2% are being hospitalized. I still don't like kids being hospitalized. Don't get me wrong. I don't want kids to be hospitalized. I don't want kids to die from this. So that's why we focus on risk reduction, but not living in fear of, oh my gosh, my kid's going to get this and it's going to be an automatic awful situation. But we really want to look at how can I, you know, make this the best situation for my family. So what I'm commonly seeing is fever and a cough, sometimes just mild illness. The hospitalized kids range from pneumonia, almost like a flu pneumonia situation, or dehydration. And then we do have that MISC, which is the inflammatory condition that happens like a month after. We still don't know why some children get this and some don't. We still don't know why some kids get hospitalized and some don't. We do have trends right now that the more likely to be hospitalized are children who are in households or with caregivers, like primary caregivers, who are unvaccinated. So adults tend to carry more viral load. Delta's changing a little bit, that we understand that children can still transmit this. Your son was an example. That yes, children can, but we are more concerned about unvaccinated adults in the home. This has been the case since the start of the pandemic. So it's really important to consider that if you're not vaccinated and you're out and about, you got to be careful that you could bring this home to an unvaccinated child. And then also, you know, the peers and stuff. But that's what we're seeing a lot of. But it is across the board. You're talking to a general pediatrician who sees outpatient children, right? I'm not in the hospitals. Seeing all the sad stuff that can happen. But I do talk to my colleagues. I do talk to the ICU doctors. And we really are, you know, looking at that big picture here and really trying to create that message of our goal here is to really be cautious, but not stress yourself out because you can't completely control everything. But be cautious. Look at ways, if you're doing an activity, how can I reduce my risk? Maybe wearing a mask, if I vaccinate myself and the adults around my child, do an outdoor activity versus an indoor activity. These are all ways that we can reduce risk and just protect ourselves, our child who's not vaccinated, and our children in our community too.
What should parents do if they suspect their child has COVID? Like in the house, should parents be masking the kids mask, keep children apart if you have more than one child? What's some advice there?
I think it's going to be based on what a family's comfortability and what their threshold of comfort is with COVID. It is better to have masking in the home with a contagious virus like this. And again, this is just for us to reduce the spread as much as possible. You are not able to force that mask on a child, like especially if it's like a younger toddler, like 3 years old, that keeps taking it off. But masking anyone who's able to, especially the person who's sick, can be really helpful. Now, if it's a toddler, and that's really impossible because they're toddlers, and I'm using toddler above two, okay? Because under two, we don't mask. If it's a toddler and they're just not doing it, they don't understand, I don't want you to beat yourself up over it. How you would manage if they had the flu, you would do the same thing, right? You would try to keep them apart, hand washing, but you do your best. Think about it like treating any sort of viral illness that you would have in the home, you know, cleaning your hands, everybody washes their hands, everyone tries to get sleep. Obviously, I'm so glad parents are vaccinated like you were, because that if your child's sneezing in your face, it's going to reduce your chance of getting severe COVID because you're vaccinated. But those things help just to help reduce the spread in the home.
I actually have a cautionary tale, which is don't use a nose Frida if you think your child has COVID.
Oh, yes.
That was my mistake. I was so freaked out once I realized. I was like, why did I do that? I'm inhaling COVID deep into my lungs.
Oh, no. Good point.
Yes, I agree. I'm like, COVID, I'm like, even the nasal Frida in general, I'm like, maybe we, people always say that it makes them sick and I wouldn't be surprised, but they're also sneezing on you. So it's hard to say, like, is it the sneezing? Was it the inhaling into the lungs? But I agree with COVID because it's more of a lung mm-hmm. issue. I agree. Frida probably is not the best thing.
Yeah. Yeah. You live, you learn. So we've talked a lot about COVID and how it presents and the vaccine and your opinions about it. Let's say one of our listeners is a pregnant person and they are on the fence still. They don't know if they should get the vaccine. What would you say to them?
I want you to know that it is okay to feel scared. It's okay to be confused because the information is all over the place on social media, maybe amongst your friend groups or family members. So I want you to get the information from the right places when you are doing your research, okay? What this means is, like I said earlier, you really want to look at places and people that are looking at evidence, but also understand what's going on clinically. And this may not always be who you expect, right? Some clinicians in practice have their own opinions and theories about the pandemic. You know, you got to be careful because I know some doctors who are like, oh, you don't need to vaccinate. I'm like, whoa. It's now FDA approved. Like, we know that this is safe to do. So you really want to know if someone is telling you don't do it. I really want you to find out more from, you know, there's accounts on Instagram, Natalie Crawford, MD. She's an OB. She's a fertility doctor. Dr. Marta Perez. These are all people who are OBs, social media. They're actively seeing pregnant people, helping people get pregnant. And it's really important to kind of know where you're getting your information. But I think if you listen to what I said about that benefit and risk situation, you're looking at, well, shoot, I don't want to get COVID. I mean, I don't want any person who's pregnant to get COVID. I mean, that plain and simple, that terrifies me because of what I'm seeing right now. And the benefit of having a vaccine is going to outweigh any of that risk. But you also have to see, well, what do you feel comfortable with? Try not to fall into the rabbit hole of misinformation. And that is going to be someone who flat out says, you should not get this. Your baby's going to die if you get this vaccine. If they're saying that, that's bad. But if someone is also saying you're crazy for not getting the vaccine, that's also bad, right? You need to find that middle ground that says, hey, this is what we know. I want you to make an informed decision. I support you in that decision because it's great. And, you know, this and that, and go from there without guilt.
But I also want to clarify, like, as far as we know, with the evidence that's available, there's no evidence that the COVID vaccines, especially the mRNA ones, cause infertility or miscarriage, right?
Correct. Correct. The American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, as well as the American Society for Reproductive Medicine and all the other pregnancy related organizations have all submitted or released their research and released guidelines about this. And you are 100% right. Fertility, miscarriages, placenta issues, all of that misinformation that you've heard, absolutely no concern. So your decision not to vaccinate at this point, right, is really coming down to where are you getting that misinformation from, right? I do agree with that because every major journal has agreed. And also going beyond that, what we're seeing in clinical practice and the risk of COVID in pregnancy, and also the fact that it's now FDA approved is huge. I mean, we're seeing all of these like awesome flags that say, you know what, this is time to do it if you haven't done it already, with the trust of knowing that we as a medical community support it clinically and also from the evidence.
Thank you so much. That's so helpful. And I really hope this conversation is helpful to our listeners. Listeners, if you want to find more information on Dr. Mona, you can follow her on Instagram at PedsDocTalk, and she has a podcast of the same name, or you can visit her on the web at PedsDocTalk.com. Dr. Mona, thank you so much for being here with us and sharing your expertise. We truly appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Anytime. I love talking about COVID. I love talking about infant development. It's all my jam. So I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Okay, Shauna, that was an amazing interview. And I just, I'm so glad we have someone like Dr. Mona to come and like drop knowledge bombs on us.
Yes. Love it.
But let's take a quick break and let's come back with our BFPs.
Let's do it. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With Lolavie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the ringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter Lolavie's best sellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at lolavie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
Lolavie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at lolavie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at lolavie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
We're back, and we are going to wrap things up with our BFPs. No BFNs on these COVID bonus episodes because we are looking for the positive. And we're going to have two each, one a personal BFP and one more of a general BFP that might be a resource to you all. Laura, you are up first. What's your first BFP?
So my personal BFP, I teased it in the check-in, is that Corey and I did not get sick at all.
Yay.
And the BFP is that the vaccines work, you know?
Yes.
They work really well. And I'm just so happy about it because, you know, you hear about breakthrough cases and they're definitely happening. Breakthrough cases are happening. A friend of mine has a breakthrough case right now. But we both got the Moderna two-part mRNA vaccine back in, I got mine in March and April, and so did he. We both got ours in March and then the second shot in April. And so it's almost been 6 months and I was worried about waning efficacy and all that stuff, right? But It held strong. I mean, and I think I could feel our bodies fighting it off because we didn't get sick, but we both felt off. You know, like Corey described it as like a buzzing in his nose, like the kind of way you feel before you get sick. And I kind of felt the same way, like, ooh, I'm like, am I getting sick? You know, I'm feeling a little congested, almost like allergies type thing. And I felt just tired, like a little bit muscle achy, a little bit tired. But that's the extent of it. Neither of us ended up getting sick at all. And our bodies clearly fought it off and, you know, major BFP to those vaccines, because if we hadn't been vaccinated, it could have been just awful. I mean,
yeah,
let's not even think about like the really scary things like getting hospitalized or all of that stuff. Just both of us feeling like we had a flu while also trying to take care of two young children and not being able to get childcare. And had we both been sick, it would have been awful, just absolutely awful. So, yay, vaccines. So excited that they work and that they exist and really, really happy we have them.
That's so great. When did you guys get tested for it?
So I got tested the same day as Augie, and I think maybe I should have waited another like day or two, because they say that you should get tested 3 to 5 days after exposure, right, to an affected person. Augie started showing symptoms Friday night. We got tested on Sunday, so maybe I should have waited another day. That said, you know, he sneezes in my face. He coughs on me. He sticks his fingers in my mouth. Like, we are very close, right? If he could just merge his body with mine, he probably would. So I'm pretty sure I was exposed the instant he became contagious, right?
Yeah.
So I don't think I would have ever tested positive. And I actually did take like a Q-tip and use that other at-home test on myself because I was like, well, if I'm going to just throw it away, I might as well try it.
That's a good idea.
And that came out negative.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, the Q-tip was not sterile, obviously. So, but, you know, I thought I'd give it a try. Why not? Yeah. By the way, they're kind of like pregnancy tests. Like, I felt very comfortable using it because have you used any of these at-home tests yet?
No.
It's the two-line thing. Like,
it is?
Yeah, and it feels super, super familiar if you've ever, like, been a TTC person because, like, it's the two pink lines and, like, you have the control line and they tell you on the boxes, like, if you're positive, the line might be really faint. It might be really hard to see. And I was like, oh honey, I have experience looking for really faint lines. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, you're ready for that.
Yes. So, yeah. But that came back negative, too. So, and Corey got tested on, I think, Tuesday. Also negative. So, yeah.
Good.
Yay, vaccines.
Yay. Love that.
How about you? What's your personal BFP?
My personal BFP are the masks that I got for the girls. I wanted something that had a lot of protection, but that was comfortable, that she would wear, and we had been trying a lot, and I ended up learning about Happy Masks. I don't know if you've heard about them.
I have. Aren't they sold out to, like, 2025?
Yes. And so my BFP is that I beat that by about 2 weeks. So I knew she was starting school and I was like, I want to get her some good masks for school and I need them to be here before she starts. Mm-hmm. And I'd been hearing about Happy Masks. Everyone in my parenting groups was recommending them. And so I went on and a lot of their stuff was sold out, but I was able to buy her five and have them shipped. And they got here about a week before school started. And like the day we got them, everyone in my mom's group was like, oh my God, everything on Happy Masks is sold out. Mm-hmm. I had them in my cart and then I went to purchase them and it disappeared. And there was just like this frenzy for Happy Masks. Like everybody wanted them for school. And I just felt maybe like a little bit too proud of myself for thinking about this ahead of time and getting these masks. I was like, yeah, I got the masks.
It reminds me of when in February 2020, I went to Costco and stocked up on everything because I'd been reading the news and I was like, I'm going to go get some stuff. It's like, beat y'all.
Yeah, you know that sense of pride. Yeah, exactly. And I was behind the curve on that one. So this one, I'm like, good job, Shauna. So aside from that feeling, like I just really do like these masks. She's very comfortable in them.
What's so special about them? Like I've heard about them, but I haven't looked into them because we just use the disposable ones from Target that he never can keep on his freaking nose anyway. But
yeah. So the Happy Masks, first of all, they're five layers and they have been tested to filter out 99% of particulate matter. And so they're tested to be very effective. I really like the design of them. They stick out. They kind of stick out like a beak in front. So no material touches her nose or mouth. Mm. And she can breathe comfortably in them and speak comfortably in them. So of all the masks we've tried, this is the one she seemed to like the best. And so she keeps it on all day. She's never complained about the mask at all. So that's what we really love about it. Yeah. However, they do not fit Cece. They're too big. Her face is really tiny. And I went on a hunt for masks that were good quality, like multiple layers with a good filter that are small enough for her face. And I just could not find anything. So many masks are sold out. I bought one that was supposed to be really good and it was huge. Like it fit me. Size small is not good enough for a two-year-old. And nobody is making good masks for little kids. And I got really frustrated. And finally, I saw a report on like, quote unquote, good or effective masks for kids. And I went through like every single one that was recommended. And I finally found a brand called Petite V. I think is how you say it. And they actually have extra small size specifically for 2 to 4 year olds. Everyone is like custom made, I guess, when you order it. So a ton of stuff was available. They just make it when you order it. And it's 3 layers and it's got an inner layer of melt blown, non-woven polypropylene filter. That's like apparently like one of the best types of filters to have in a mask. So I was like, okay, we'll try these. So I ordered 5 of them. We haven't gotten them yet. I'm still waiting for them. But even just finding this and knowing something is available is a BFP for me because I've been on the hunt for so long for something for Cece, for when she does go back to preschool, because we don't want to send her. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great to know, because I feel like that 2 to 4 year range really is hard to find a good fitting mask. Like, I feel like people have just given up on that range of ages, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, petite V.
Petite V, P-E-T-I-T-E-V-I-E, petite Vi. I don't know. I don't know how they say it, but check it out. And I'll make sure to link to both of those in our show notes. So if anyone else is looking for masks, you can check that out too.
Great.
All right, Laura, what's your next BFP?
Okay, so my bonus BFP is a product called Zarbee's Natural Baby Soothing Chest Rub with eucalyptus, lavender, and beeswax. Do you know about this?
That sounds nice. No, but it sounds very nice.
Okay, so Zarbee's is a brand of like homeopathic natural stuff for kids, right? Medicines and whatnot. And I'm always a little skeptical about homeopathic stuff because I'm like, you know, maybe at best they don't work. At worst, they are harmful. And I'm like, never know where they are, like where it falls in the spectrum, right? And they're not regulated. Mm-hmm. So I never know what's safe and whatnot. But Zarbee's is a pretty trusted and respected brand. And my friend Carrie, who is a pharmacist, she actually recommended this to me. She said she still uses it on her 2.5-year-old, but it's safe for ages 2 months and up, which is awesome because there's basically no cough or cold medicine that's really safe for kids under 2. Or that might not be entirely true. What I'm saying is that they're like, all use with caution, like don't overuse, make sure you talk to your doctor. And at 2 a.m. when you notice your kid has a cough, you're not calling your doctor. You know what I mean? Like, you can tell the cough's not that bad. You just want something to help them. This is, it's like Vicks VapoRub. You know, it's like a sort of strong smelling balm that you rub on their chest or their feet, and it helps just clear their airways. And it smells so good. I mean, I guess if you don't like eucalyptus, it wouldn't smell good, but I do. So I used it on Sebastian when he started getting a bit of a cough from the COVID. Because there's not much you can use in little babies, right, for cough and cold. And so when I started using this on his chest, you know, I rubbed it on his chest before bedtime, I could feel my sinuses clearing a little from it. And, you know, he did really well. His skin is super sensitive and it still didn't cause any like redness or irritation. So I love it. Yeah.
Good.
Zarbee's Soothing Chest Rub.
All right. Hot tip.
And it's not expensive. On Amazon today, it's $5.82. And it's a tub that's, I mean, it's going to last you forever. And you can also just get it at like Walgreens. It's all over the place. So.
Did you use it on Augie?
I did not. And now I'm wondering why I didn't use it on Augie. Like, I should have used it on Augie, but I didn't even think about it because I was more concerned about Sebastian's coughing. Augie can like sit up and like cough, you know, and then spit it out.
Yeah.
Sebastian, he's rolling around, but he can't sit up on his own. And I don't know. It just felt worse for him.
Right.
So, yeah. But I'm glad I have it now because I can use it when Augie brings on whatever the next virus he gets at school.
Let's hope you can stay in school for at least like the next 2 weeks before he brings something else home.
I really hope so. I really hope so. Anyway, that is my bonus BFP. What is your bonus BFP?
My bonus BFP is one of my favorite resources on the COVID pandemic. Her name is Dr. Caitlin Jedalina. She goes by Your Local Epidemiologist. I don't know if you follow her. I follow her on Facebook, and she also has a Substack newsletter that you can subscribe to. So I also get it in my email every day or whenever she's able to write one. She's really smart. She's an epidemiologist. She has a master's in public health and a PhD in epidemiology. And she's an assistant professor at a school of public health. And She's also a mom, and so she's a busy person, but
yeah.
In her off time, she writes this blog, and she started it in March 2020, right at the beginning of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. The dean asked her to update students, faculty, and staff on the development of the pandemic, and I'm getting this from her bio on Substack. You can read more about her there. But in 17 months, this newsletter has really grown because it is so informative. She takes the science and evidence of what's going on with research and just what's going on with the pandemic and puts it in a very straightforward and digestible way for the public so you can understand what's going on with the numbers and everything. She includes a lot of really great charts that help you understand things. And the purpose of her page is to, quote, close the communication loop by providing a direct line of science to you. So, I mean, I'm not this most scientifically minded person. I have a hard time understanding a lot of the data and research out there. Mm-hmm. And I just love the way that she breaks it down and makes it really easy to understand. She gives updates every couple days on like the state of things, how things are going, what it's looking like around the country. And I've learned a ton from her. So I highly recommend following your local epidemiologist, aka Dr. Caitlin Jettolina.
One thing I just love about this pandemic, there's not a lot of times you start a sentence that way, but it's how generous scientists have been with their time. You know,
yes.
There's her, there's a person I follow, she goes by King Gutter Baby, I think, on Instagram. She's mm-hmm. also an epidemiologist, I think. She spends so much of her time for free, like keeping people updated. And it's just so generous. And I really appreciate
yes.
it.
Yeah, that's a great resource, too. I really appreciate it, too. Because sometimes you're like, I don't know where to look for information. What's really going on out there? And it's nice to have some reliable resources.
Yeah, it's just like Dr. Mona said, like you need to have reliable sources of information because there's so much misinformation out there. So
yes.
So yeah, I'm going to check out your local epidemiologist. I've heard of her, but I haven't actually followed her. So I'm going to do that right now.
Awesome.
But I think that might be it for our bonus episode.
I think it is. Listeners, how are things going in your world right now with COVID and Delta and being a parent during this crazy time? We would love to know. If you want to share your stories with us, please reach out. Laura, let everyone know how they can reach us.
So if you want to send us a voice memo with your experiences, like how is it going sending kids back to school, just send it to contact@bigfatpositivepodcast.com. You can also visit our website, bigfatpositivepodcast.com, or you can visit us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at BFP Podcast. Also, if you want to join a super cool community, just search Big Fat Positive Community on Facebook. Make sure you answer the 2 membership questions so we know you're not a robot and you can be sent straight through to the amazing private community we've built there.
If you have a couple extra minutes in your day, please go on over to the ratings and review section wherever you listen to podcasts and please rate and review BFP. We so appreciate you taking your time out of your day to review us. It helps other listeners want to try out our show and it means the world to us. And if you love the show, please spread the word. Let your friends know about BFP. Our show's produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks for listening, everyone. Stay healthy. Bye.
Bye.